I'm reminded of my professor of Greek at Columbia College was going to tell us about the Iliad, and he just stood there in front of the class with the book on the table and couldn't make any comment. He was so overwhelmed by the power of what he thought the Iliad was expressing. And I see this afternoon as a progression of science to art, and we all know that medicine is a science. It's a feeble one, but it is a science, and it is an art. And God help us, it is a business. So what I'd like to do is start a little bit, talk about the science that we heard this afternoon, and then progress and talk about the art. About the science, you mentioned people have talked about numbers, and we saw a lot of statistical data in the early presentations. And I want to mention a little bit about numbers. Dr. Halstead wanted me to be philosophical, so I'm being philosophical. Numbers are great, but they're not all that great. That's just a human tool. It has its greatest application in physics. If you ask a physicist where the planet Mercury will be in the year 2093, he can tell you exactly. But who cares? Okay? It has no application to the human situation, or very little application. Now, in physics, they also talk about the strong force. Strong force is a glue that holds atoms together, okay? Now, if the strong force was 5% weaker, the deuteron would not form, there would be no thermonuclear reaction in the sun, and this planet would not exist, okay? Life on this planet would not exist. If the strong force was 2% stronger, the attraction for protons for each other would be so great that hydrogen would be much more explosive than it is, and the whole universe would consist of helium, and life would not exist on this planet. Now, what is crazy about those thoughts? The crazy thing is the if, okay? In physics, there is no if. The strong force is a constant and will be a constant now and forever. But in medicine, the if is different. In all human affairs, if is predisposes a contingent event that may or may not happen. When Fabius Maximus defeated Hannibal, the First Punic War ended, and we are now speaking a language that's derived from Latin and not Punic. When Octavius defeated Antony and Cleopatra at the Battle of Actium, the whole iconography of the Western world then became based on Greek and Roman models. And so it is in the human situation. The if is the patient that we're dealing with all the individual complexities. The human animal is enigmatic. Whenever I see a patient, I see only questions, 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 and no answers. So in medicine, we have to deal with a kind of data that is not quantitative. It is qualitative, it is subjective, it is incomplete, and sometimes it is inaccurate. But in the afternoon, we progressed to that kind of qualitative data, and we saw how important it can be in patient management. And I'll go over some of the areas that I thought were impressive. I like the respiratory management. I like the sleep apnea. I think that is the tip of the iceberg, and many patients are affected. And if you're feeling tired and weak, it's possible that you're not getting enough sleep. And for God's sake, if you have a patient who is making complaints like that, get a complete sleep study. You'll find the amount of pathology far exceeds anything you ever expected. The protriptyline does work, in my opinion, but it does cause impotence in men, and I think it decreases orgasms in women. I prefer weight reduction as a first-line treatment for the overweight apneic patient, because I think that's helpful. Dysphagia. We had a wonderful talk on dysphagia and a very practical look at what swallowing mechanisms are all about. There is no person in this room who could look at a patient complaining of dysphagia and identify the esophageal stricture that was causing that phenomena that we saw in the film. You have to get the study. So if you have a patient, get the study, and then you'll learn something. I had a patient who was getting short of breath after she swallowed. It turned out that she had a lower esophageal stricture, was pooling material in the esophagus and regurgitating up into a larynx after her meal. And when we put Evans Blue down, we did indirect laryngoscopy and saw blue on the laryngeal apparatus. So the message, I think, is get the studies and then you'll learn something. Pain, it's a devastating clinical complaint. It ruins their weekends. It ruins their relationship to their wife, the significant other, the people around them. It changes their personality. We've seen judges, we've seen lawyers, great politicians, turn into whiny, complaining, crying babies with chronic pain. So it's an important clinical problem and it has to be addressed. I was intrigued by the demonstration of the posture changes and the things that can be done to alleviate pain that's due to mechanical problems. I saw a patient that had severe foot pain that I couldn't figure out what to do for, and I sent her to a chiropodist, and over a three-week period, he measured her foot. And she would call me and say what he did. He measured her foot for 45 minutes. Well, at the end of 3 weeks, he put a little wedge in that shoe, and her pain was relieved. So that made a believer of me. It could have been placebo, but it was a dramatic saving event. I want to emphasize what Dr. Johnson said about spinal stenosis and post-polio syndrome. We've seen two cases with complete block whose pain was removed by decompression laminectomy. So I think that is real. And of course, patients with polio are subject to multiple radiculopathies. And in a case in which the pain is radicular, we should proceed appropriately with the studies that define the lesion and see if therapeutic intervention or surgery or whatever a patient needs should be done. Now we come down to the last papers, which really turned me on. Sybil's reminds me of the great Sybil and the Sibylline books that taught the Romans what to do. I feel she has her fingers on the emotional pulse of people and the people who have this syndrome. My own subjective observation is that these people are far too intense. And I also like the idea of exploring a person's lifestyle. See what parts of their life are happy and not. Are they bothered by sex, in-laws, money problems, children, things of that sort? Sometimes just a little social manipulation can make a gigantic difference in the patient's view of life, how they feel, and what they want to do. And I also like her feedback control. I might try that tonight, the blank pad, and write what you accomplished. And perhaps during the cocktail hour, I will explain to you the miraculous case of the woman who cured herself. And then last but not least, I was also turned on by Dr. Kalfrek's wonderful approach. He is a global thinker. He is approaching an understanding of man and the human situation that is only approached by novelists and poets. Thank you for listening. I want to thank the speakers and the audience and wish you a good evening.
This is the end of tape 5 and concludes this portion of the program.